All right.
Now I look very extra.
Yeah, you do. Okay.
You told me it was fine.
And also, what you don't want to sit down with the sword.
Oh, so 1 week to retreat, guys. You guys ready? Yeah, Andrew's excited.
Yeah, retreat!
I'm psyched about a lot of things. I'm psyched about the bonfire. Psyched about 4 days. Yes. Jacob Taylor coming back. It's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. So today, I wanted to share with you guys from... I want to share a little bit about what's going on in my life, and then also just one of my favorite passages in Scripture. But before we start, let's just pray, and then we'll make it. So, let's pray. God, we just thank you for a chance to study your word. I thank you for a chance to worship you, God. Lord Jesus, the idea that we could have a friendship with God is incredible. And God, I just want to ask that you would, today as we study your word, I pray that we'd end today standing in awe of you. Standing in awe of just the privilege that you've given us to know you, to even be near you, and just who you really are and what you do, God. It's just, I think when we really understand it, it just really kind of shakes us a little bit. And I just pray that we'd be shaken today. Thank you for your word, God, that we can know truth, that we can know the truth about you. Pray that you open our eyes, open the eyes of our hearts to see what you want to speak to us today, hear what you want to speak to us today. See what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, obviously not everybody in the world believes that God exists, right? But most do, right? Even if, like, you have... I mean, reading something, even in China here, where the official state religion is atheism, is still something like 10% or 15% of the population is atheist. And that's like way higher than most countries. Most people are not atheists. Most people are more like agnostic, like, oh, maybe God's real, maybe he's not. Or, yeah, he's real, but I don't know if he's Allah or the Christian God or, you know, the Force from Star Wars or... You know, I don't know who he is, but most people think there's a God. When you think about God, what do you think he's like? And what I mean, what I want you to think about right now is not what have I read from the Bible? What is the right answer that Kenny's looking for me to say? What has my parents taught me? But in the way you pray to God, the way you live your life, the way you think about the world, what do you think God's really like? Like, what do you really, really think he's like? You know? Because we can say some things that are our, like, theology, or like, oh, I believe this, or I subscribe to this belief, and live very differently. A lot of people do, right? But I think that when we start to examine what we think about God, sometimes they line up and sometimes they don't. What are some things that people think about God? Let's just say in general. This doesn't have to be you, not the right answer, wrong answer. Just like if you walk up to Joe Schmo on the street and you were like, what is God like? What would he say? What are some things?
Powerful.
Powerful, right? Yeah. Okay. Huh? Big, right? Yeah, big, right? Yeah. Okay, what else?
Maybe wise.
Wise. Okay. What else?
Not that good.
Not good. Okay. Okay. Just. Yeah. Just or righteous. Okay. What else?
Selfish.
Selfish? I'm supposed to say selfish. Okay, well, let's say we took a poll, right? And we had the floor being a God who, like, created the world and then took off to Timbuktu, galaxy. Okay, like took off to some other galaxy and just like sits on a planet over there and just chillaxes and have no idea what's going on planet Earth. Okay, like just made it and left. Okay, let's say that's one version of God, and the other version of God being this one who's like super intimately like involved in every iota of everything. You know, a lady in Jordan just went number two on the toilet. Like, he's involved in that, right? Okay? Right? Like, so if that's there, where do you think most people would put God on this scale? High? Low? What do you think? Somewhere in the middle, right? Where would each of us put it on a scale? I'm not just saying from what we believe the Bible says, but, like, how we live our lives, how we think about God, right? Like, I think it varies for me, right? Sometimes I think he's like, oh, I see him, like, in everything, you know? Like, I remember the one day I was out, I probably told you guys the story before, I was out, and, like, I was taking a walk, and I felt like the Holy Spirit told me, take that street instead of that street back. So I did, and on that street there was this, like, massive blackberry bush with, like, the best blackberries I've ever ate in my whole life. And I was like, wow, God really loves me. He cares about me eating blackberries, right? Right, you know, and I felt like, whoa, way up here, you know? And then there's other times where you've like prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and it's like silent, right? And you feel like God is definitely on some other dynasty, right? Galaxy, right? Okay, like God is definitely not. You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. And what about his power? What about God's power? What about his ability? What's more powerful? Some people think, oh, God can do whatever he wants, right? God can be in time and out of time at the same time if he wants. Could God make a rock so big he couldn't move it? Yes, because he's God and he can do anything. But wait, then he couldn't move it? Nobody could move it then, because he can do anything, right? Yeah. Brain hurts. So, yeah, like, some people are like, I'm there, right? And then other times you feel like, yeah, God probably loves me, but if he loves me, why isn't he doing anything about it? Maybe he's not strong. Right? And we have this kind of like, what is God really like? Well, let me tell you something. When your life hits the fan, to use an American expression, when things start going crazy and falling apart, you need to know what kind of God God is. When you don't have control of your life anymore, when you are at the end of your rope and you don't have answers anymore, you need to know what kind of God God is. Because if God is a weak, distant God in that moment, it's foolish to turn to him. Right? Or if he's not a loving God. Right? Like, how he is determines how we respond. But if he is this, like, eminently aware of everything, like super wise, super good, loving, involved God, then why in the world would I go anywhere else, right? Why would I go anywhere else, right? So this, I'm going to share, this is pretty personal, but I talked to Katie and I can share with you guys, we need to share with you guys either way. We went to the doctors on Tuesday and they couldn't find a heartbeat on the baby. And so they like double checked it and we lost the baby. So it's pretty late in the pregnancy. Usually when miscarriages happen, they happen early on. And so, yeah, like this is later. And it was totally a shock. We had been in about a month and a half before and the doctor said, everything looks great. Kids are doing awesome. No problem. And so, you know, when we found that out, it's just like, what? You know, because our whole life, when we found out we were pregnant, changed, right? And now, we're like, wait. Now, where do we go, right? Because, anyway. So this has been a really crazy past, this we found out Tuesday morning. It's been a crazy, crazy couple days. Just wrestling with that, taking that to God. Just as a side note, Katie actually, me and her were talking about this. She's like, this is a good thing for you to share with you. How to talk to people when they're wrestling with this. What's not helpful is when you're like, when did it happen? Oh, how do you feel now? Okay, what should we do? Oh, are you going to do that? Or are you going to do that? Okay, well, I should do this. Well, I heard my second cousin, her mom's dog's uncle's pet, their owner did this when that happened to them. So you should do that as well. Oh, yeah, and how you feeling? Okay, good. And then how you feeling again? Right, that's not really helpful, guys, okay? So don't do that to Katie. but what is really helpful is when you're acknowledging, saying, like, hey, I'm so sorry, I heard about it. Let them respond if they want to talk. If we want to talk about it, if I want to talk about it with you, I will. And then if I don't, just kind of like let it go and talk about the rest of life. And that's really helpful for us because we talk about, since Tuesday, I've talked about it so many times. And sometimes I just want to talk about baseball or basketball or the youth house or, you know what I mean? So give people that out. Anyway, that's a side note. How to love people well. That could be another story. But today, what I'm just saying is, like, I'm in a place in my life, right here, sitting on this chair right now, guys. Like, I'm in a place where I need to know what kind of God is. Right? I'm in a place of my life, this very moment, where it is not okay to kind of, sort of, have a somewhat idea of what God is like. I need to know what He is like right now. Because I need strength right now. I need a hope right now. I need comfort. I need all that. I need it right now. Katie needs it. Emily needs it. Friends need it. So I was just like wrestling with this for the Lord and talking to Him about it. And process with you guys as friends. I think what's hard about it is just like there was all this kind of expectation of who this person would be, right? You know, when we got pregnant, I thought, oh, okay, my life has changed for the next 18 years, right? Or next forever, basically. But you know what I'm saying? Like, the way I lived, I was going to be 3 kids. We're going to be outnumbered, you know, like all that stuff. And now I'm kind of like, wait, no, we're not going to have a kid for at least probably another, at least 9 months, but more like a year or at least, you know, right? And just like, oh, wait, so the kids, they're going to be relating to their siblings at different ages, and it just all changes, right? Like everything I saw, everything I had in my mind is gone, right? And there's this real, like, shaking of things. So that's where I'm at, and I need to know who God is. So I was just asking the Lord, like, where should I read? And one of the places I was reading is 2 Corinthians 1, which is amazing, about God's comfort for us. But the other one I was reading is Psalms 139. So I just wanted to, like, dig into this passage with you guys this week for myself and for you. And hopefully when you guys run into this sort of thing too, then you can run to the truth about what God really is like. Not just some creation of a religious system, right? But who He really is. Because God is a person. He exists. He's real. And He loves us and wants to be in a relationship with us. That's what we're going to dive into today. So let's read Psalms 139. So if you guys got your Bibles, pull them out. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. And maybe Nathan can give you one. Psalms 139. This is a psalm written by David, and originally, just so you know, everything written in these psalms, they were originally set to music. They were songs, and so we're going to read the lyrics to this psalm today. All right, Psalms 139. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from Your spirit? Or where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So I was just kind of looking over this passage, and I kind of found, like, wow, like, six things kind of it goes through that I wanted to just kind of take some time to think about. Because I think this psalm says quite a lot about who God is, what he's like, and how he relates to us. And this is the stuff that we need to be sure of. You see the beginning, it says, oh Lord, you've searched me and known me. You see when I sit down, when we rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar, right? Even before I speak a word, you know it, right? You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high I cannot attain. So, me and Katie, we were on the subway one day, and Katie was like, you know, why is security footage always so grainy, you know? You guys ever notice that? It's always like, you know, it's like really grainy, choppy, whatever. Kind of like, why don't, I mean, we have cameras that take better videos than that. Like, if you really want to catch somebody, why would, you know? And I was like, oh, that's a strange thought. I never thought about it. But then I realized, well, it's probably because they're recording at a really, like, low quality so that they can store more information, right? You know, if you, Nathan can give us a lecture on this. If you shoot at a lower quality, if you, like, take less frames per second, then the size of the file is not as big, and you can record more in the same space, right? So security footage is like rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling, so you need to be able to have a lot of space, right? Now, let's say we had like a camera here that had been here for like 4 years, and I had 4 years of footage, right? Can you just kind of, does that make sense in your brain? I feel like, well, how do I like that much information is just kind of like, overload. Now just think for a moment that God knows every single detail of your body, right? Like, every single detail, every single, like, heart cell that fires, like, God is aware of that. Every time you move a muscle, every time, like, you eat something, every time your eye twitches or your thing blinks, like, God sees all that and he knows all that. And he knows every thought you're thinking. Even before you speak it, he knows it. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're going. He knows everything about you, and he's walking with you. He's hemming you in with his hand beside you, in front of you, behind you. He knows all of it. And David is just thinking about this and going like, okay, stop, my brain hurts, right? Like, this is hard for me to understand. You know, there is not one nanometer of your life that God is not intimately involved with, and fully understanding and fully knowing. Sometimes I think people, when they go through stuff like what I'm going through right now, you can feel like, well, God's far away. God doesn't realize what's happening to me. God doesn't know. He just doesn't get it. But I know he knows. I know he knows exactly. He knows the moment that baby went to be with him. Right? Like, he knows like, we didn't know for a long time. He knows everything. He knows exactly what I'm feeling right now. He knows what my wife back home is feeling right now. He knows what you guys are feeling right now. He knows it all. And he knows it even better than we know it, right? Like, you know, sometimes when you can't figure out what you're feeling or what like, I don't even know what I want. I don't even know what I feel. I just feel something. Like, God knows what it is. He is fully unaware of everything. I think sometimes we think, God's so high in heaven, he can't understand my suffering. That's totally not true. God understands. Or sometimes we think, oh, God's high in heaven. Oh, you know, like, God, technically his rule said I shouldn't do that, but I can do that. If he knew my context, he understood the way, you know, the world I was in and the brokenness and whatever, he would understand it's okay to lie in this situation or it's okay to cheat in this situation because he's far away and he wouldn't understand. But that's totally not true. God knows everything. God fully understands every single part of you. He fully understands it all. And he cares for you and his rules apply to you there. So there's no escaping from the word is like the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere. And he's involved. Hebrews 4:15 says, we don't have a high priest. Like, so a priest is like someone who kind of like mediates between you and God, right? Someone who's like, oh hey, do you want to get to know God better? Let me help you. I will stand with you and God. Well, the Bible says there's one high priest, and that's Jesus. And it says this about him. We don't have a high priest who doesn't understand our weakness. But we have one who's gone through everything. Hebrews 4:15, let me read it. He's gone through, he's been tempted in all the same ways. That's the whole point of Jesus coming a man. Is that Jesus became a man. Now nobody can say, oh, well, God, you're off in heaven in some paradise and golden throne eating, like, great food and stuff like that. You don't know what it's like to live on this dingy earth. He's like, oh, actually, I do. Actually, I live there. Actually, I know exactly what it's like. I became a man. I live among you. So that's the first part. God intimately knows me, and he's intimately involved in every aspect of my life. I hang on to that right now, right? He knows what I'm going through. He's here with me. His hand is around me. He's carrying me. The second part is from verse 7. It says this, where should I go from your presence? Or from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, if I go down to hell, doesn't matter, you're there. If I go to the farthest parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, oh, surely the darkness shall cover me, light be about as night. Like, I'll run to the darkness, and there God won't be able to find me. He won't be able to see me. You know, what are the two lies sometimes we believe? Sometimes we believe, oh, you know, like, I've fallen so far into, you name it. I've fallen so far into drugs. I've fallen so far into alcohol. I've fallen so far into depression. I've fallen so far into rebellion against my parents or cheating or whatever it is, porn, that God can't reach me anymore. That's not true. Right? What does it say? Oh, if I run into the darkness, you guys see that? Like, oh, surely the darkness will cover me, right? Even the darkness is not dark to you. It doesn't matter where you've gone. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in the middle of a club or a brothel or wherever you are. It doesn't matter where you are. Wherever you are, God sees you and God will come for you there. His hand will come for you there. And even if you're on the other end of that and you're like, oh man, I can't believe that I did that. I went through that. I can't believe I was out there doing that. God was there with you. God was there with you. His hand, like, even the darkness is a light to him. Nothing can hide us from his sight. You know, or sometimes I think I get on the other side of the thing where I feel like, man, I don't really need God, right? Like, if God's distant right now, that's fine. In fact, maybe that'd be nice. He'll be breathing down my neck with some rules and stuff like that, right? But the truth is, God is so close to us all the time. In Acts 17:29, it says, in him we live and breathe and have our being. Like, every breath you take is from God, right? Like, every moment you exist, you are breathing God. You know, I think sometimes we think like, oh, you know, I'm pretty good. I kind of have a whole my life. I've talked to some people, I'm like, hey, you want to be a Christian? And they're like, oh, you know, my life's pretty good. I don't feel like I really need God. In Deuteronomy 8:18, God is speaking to his people Israel. He's like, oh, you're like, oh, I got wealthy, I'm so good, hey, no problem. He's like, what the heck? I'm the one who gave you strength to obtain wealth. Like, the only reason you got a good grade on that exam is because you studied hard, and who gave you the power to study hard? I did, right? That's all me. So everything we have is God. God is fully involved in our lives, in our darkest moments and in our brightest moments. God is there. He's in all of it. We can't escape it whether we like it or not. And for me right now, that's super comforting. I'm super glad, right? I'm super happy that God is with me in everything. In Isaiah 4:41, actually I have to go over and read it. It's a cool passage. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8 says this. God speaking to Israel, who, this is another sermon, but basically we as Christians now get all the promises that God made to Israel, like he's made to us, because we're his people. And this is what he says, but you, Israel, so this is God's promise to you, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you who I took from the ends of the earth and called from his farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God's hand is there. He is holding us up in our failures and even in our successes, right? And his hand is there for us to take. I just had this interesting thought. Can you guys just, like, roll with me on this one? Everyone, like, close your eyes for just 2 seconds, okay? Close your eyes. And I want you to imagine that, like, right next to you or in this room, like, Jesus is there. He's just there. And, okay, now you can open your eyes. Like, that's true. Like, he is. He's here right now. He's, like, with us. Like, we can't escape him. Right? And that changes how I think when I'm sitting at my computer about to go to a site I shouldn't go to, when I know that Jesus is sitting next to me, right? But it also changes how I think when I'm, like, at the end of my rope and I have no answers right now. Right? Like, and I'm just weeping and I'm just broken. And I realize, and I'm ready to end it all, right? And I think Jesus is right next to me, right? You know? Like, this is not just some great psychological, like, exercise to help you feel better. It's true. Jesus is with you. He's with us. He's next to us. You know, the next section is this. So first, God is intimately knows us. He's involved. Number two, his presence is always with us. Number three is God is the designer and the conductor, or the orchestrator of our lives. This is from verse 13. It says, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And then farther down, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book was written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. So God is the one who makes us, right? And then also, everything that's going to happen in our lives has been written in his book, even before it happens, right? God has planned out our lives. He's orchestrating our life. He's molding and shaping the direction of our life. Do you guys remember Amplified, how Jason Ma shared his testimony? You guys remember? And he said he felt like, wow, I felt like I was an accident, right? Like, he felt like his mom got pregnant, and when his dad was, like, divorcing them or leaving them, and she wasn't supposed to get pregnant, and then she almost aborted him, and he was like, wow, I'm just an accident, right? He's like, then God showed him, no, you're not an accident. I love this verse. It says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So when it says that, what does it mean? Like, if I'm like, hey, I want to give you a compliment, Connor. You are fearfully made. I mean, every time I look at you, I just get freaked out, right? You know, I'm just like, ah, Carter, right? You know, like, what does it mean to be fearfully made? Okay, have you ever seen anything so big or so beautiful or so, like, majestic or so, like, just awe-inspiring that it made you shake a little bit? Could you imagine that? Okay, so, like, there's this one video I used to show all the time, which I don't show because you guys probably all seen it 20 times now, but it's basically of this like, a picture of, you know, the Earth. And then it, like, zooms out. Have you guys seen this video? And it zooms out, and then you're like, oh, there's the Earth. Then it zooms out, you're like, oh, there's the planets. Zooms out, there's the sun, and then it zooms out, and zooms out, and zooms out. Until, like, the very last one, you're like, oh, you know, like, on it, there's like, oh, here's our galaxy, you know? Like, the Milky Way galaxy, where, like, you know, the solar system's, like, a nail prick it in. And then, like, and then it's like, oh, yeah, here it is, and there's a bunch of others. And then it's like, now we're zooming out 10 million light years. Boom! And you see that, like, our gigantic galaxy is, like, just this tiny, like, dot on the screen of known space, right? Have you guys seen that video, right? Okay. Now, when I see that video, I get, like, chill bumps, right? Like, why? Because it's just so big, right? It's so, like, just big. You guys ever been on the ocean and you see, like, oh, how about that? Have you been on the ocean and you're like, you can't see land anymore? And you just kind of have this, like, shiver of, like, whoa, this is really big. or you're out at night and you see the stars, and then someone's like, oh, yeah, you see, you know, like, the closest ones, the light left them 5 years ago, and they're now just reaching you. And you're like, and you kind of shake a little bit. Do you guys get what I'm saying in any way, shape, or form? That's what it means when God says you're fearfully made. I mean, I think that the angels and the demons, they see what God, when God created you, and they shook a little bit. Because you, as God created you, are fearful in that sense. You're awe-inspiring. I was just thinking about this today. Yesterday, I was, like, walking around, I saw someone who sort of looked like someone else I knew. And I was like, isn't that crazy? Have you ever thought about that? How, like, pretty much any one of your friends, you can recognize them. You can recognize their face. Like, there's nobody else in the world who has the same face as them. Like, even identical twins, if you know them well enough, you can tell the difference between the two, right? But do you ever think about that? Like, and we're always like, oh, hey, you look like this celebrity. Or you look just like my other friend. But if you put them next to each other, they look nothing alike, right? I mean, maybe you say they sort of do. You're like, oh, you guys should be cousins or something. But they're like, they're different. You ever thought about how unique each human is? And every time God makes one, we're fearfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when it says wonderful, it doesn't mean like, oh, you're such a wonderful one. It means full of wonder. It's saying the same thing, right? Like God sees what he's made and it's like, oh my gosh. Angels see, we see, like, what God has created and we say, oh my gosh. This is incredible. We are fearfully, we are wonderfully made. I know sometimes some people really wrestle with the idea of everybody else being great, but me, like, I'm junk. God must have messed up on me. When I was a kid, there was a song by Backstreet Boys or NSYNC. I don't know. They sound the same to me. It was like, God was taking a little bit more time on you. You know? And some of us, I think, feel like, God took a lot less time on me. Right? You know? Like everybody else, he put the thought in, but me, he just kind of like, Let me tell you something, because you need to know this. If you've ever had this thought, you need to understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not just nice. You're not just beautiful. You're not just good-looking, whatever. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. Like, who you are is awe-inspiring because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. But here's why. Look at the next verse. It says, wonderful are your works. Everything God does is wonderful. And when we say, oh, I'm junk, I'm dirt, we're saying that God's masterpiece is dirt and junk. Right? Because he made you. So I don't say that to make you feel guilty. I say that to you for you to stop and think. Who is a better judge of how valuable you are? You, who don't even know yourself completely, or your creator, who knows every single part of you. He knows you much better than you know yourself. And he says, you're wonderful. You're fearfully made. Everything I make is wonderful. So are you. That's not to say we don't have flaws. This isn't to say we don't try to, ask God to, we're going to get to this later, ask God to make us better. But who you are, at your very core, God made you fearfully. He made you wonderfully. You need to understand that. This verse has just been kind of comforting for me, too, as I've been thinking about the baby. Because I know that God made this baby fearfully and wonderfully. And it says, at the end it says, like, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed. And then me and Kate were just talking this morning. We're like, thank you, God, for the 3 months, 4 months you gave this baby, right? Every single one of those days that baby lived was written down for God, by God, for them to live. Their life is not an accident. They were fearfully and wonderfully made. And now they're in the presence of God. And now I just, like, so that was just huge comfort to me. Ephesians. Okay, so you guys, this was so cool. I was studying this. It was like, right? So I'm reading this, and it's like, I praise you. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. Everything you make is great, you know? And then every single one of my days was written in your book beforehand. Now, check out this verse in Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says this. It is a totally different part of the Bible. It says this. For we are his workmanship. Sound familiar? We are his masterpiece. We are his craftsmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What's it saying? Before time began, God created good things for us to do, and now we walk in them. Today, like before time began, before I was born, before I had, you know, luscious brown hair and gorgeous eyes, right? Before all that happened, when I was just didn't even exist, God was in heaven and he wrote in his book on March 20, whatever, 5th, Kenny, at 5:10, Kenny's going to declare how good my workmanship is. Kenny's going to speak to youth who need to hear it, that they are valuable to God and that they are they are masterpieces that he's created and loves and are precious to him. God knew that I was going to say that before the foundation of the world, and he set that up for me to do. And in this very moment, as like I'm speaking to you, I'm doing it. Like, isn't that cool? And you're going to go out of here and you're going to go to dinner with some people, and there's going to be some people that you're going to show love to. You're going to speak a kind word to. You're going to like say, hey, I like your hair today. Or you're going to be like, dude, you're going to say to me, oh, Kenny, I'm really sorry. I'm praying for you. And that's going to bring comfort to me. And all those things have been set before the foundation of the world for you to walk in. Isn't that really cool? Isn't that awesome? Don't you realize that your life has meaning and purpose? And you're not just some like chemicals that somehow got mixed together and right? But that what you do and every single little thing that you do has been planned out before the foundation of the world for you to walk in. Man, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the purposes God has for your life are fearful and wonderful. God is the designer and the orchestrator of my life. The next verse, the next section is in verse 17. It says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Some of them, if I were to count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. Some translations say, how awesome are all your thoughts about me, God. Now, I don't know about you, but the idea, just to stop for a moment, that God thinks about me. That God, like, knows who Kenny Lee is, right? Like, God's in heaven and he's like, oh yeah, Kenny Lee, I know him. He's that guy who loves bad puns. And like has no fashion sense. That's why I send him his wife. She helps a lot, right? You know, like he knows all that. Yeah. He speaks like you know, like Chinese, but he speaks with like a white even accent, and like, you know, like he knows every little thing, yeah, every little thing about me, right? And he thinks about me. Like, he doesn't just know it. It's not like it's in some reservoir that, you know, some data bank somewhere that he can access if he wants to because he's God. But he actually actively thinks about me. I remember when I started falling for Katie, and I probably thought about her at least 300 to 400 times per day. No, not day. Per minute. Okay? You know, like, it was just like, you know, ticker tape. Katie, you know, right? I just thought about her all the time, right? And you guys don't have to admit it unless you want to, but many of you have had that experience too, right? And nobody's making eye contact with me, right? So no, just kidding, right? You know, we've had that experience where you like attract to somebody, and maybe some of you haven't. That's cool. No joke, I didn't have it until I was 18. So no condemnation if you haven't felt attracted yet. In fact, it makes life way more easier. So I totally recommend postponing it. If you can. I don't know how it works. But anyway, when you fall for somebody, it's just like, you're just always thinking about them. And you're like, oh man. And I remember for me, in my story, you guys all know my story, Katie was pretty oblivious to me. Like, oh, he's this great guy, yeah. Always has a buzz cut, so I could never marry him, right? You know? And you know, it's just like, I was just the guy, you know? But her, and I remember, like, my deepest unfulfilled dream would be that she was thinking about me the same way. You know? And sometimes I'd be like, oh, maybe she is. Maybe she's thinking about me. And then, of course, the whole time she wasn't. I mean, she's like, oh, who, Kenny? Oh, yeah, Kenny. Right? You know? Like, that's basically what I was. But I was just like, if that had been the case, that she was thinking about me like that, and I had known that, I would have gone ballistic. I would have gone crazy. I would have been so excited. Have you ever considered the fact that God thinks about you like that? You ever considered that? That maybe the amount of times that God thinks about you, like personally, not just like, oh, the generic youth who love God, but like you, like Andrew Crandall, you know, like Hannah, like Connor, like Hugh, like God is thinking about you. Specifically, if you count them, they're more than the grains of sand on the seashore. That's just crazy. I'm really thankful for that right now. That's super comforting for me right now. That God is thinking about me. I'm not forgotten by Him. How many of you guys were at Near Retreat? Okay, so I'm not telling you. We have a speaker named Dan Bauman, and he tells this story every time he preaches. I've heard the story like 15 times now. He always tells the same story. I never do that, thankfully, but he always tells the same stories. And his story is when he first realized that God loved him, he was at this message, and the preacher was like, you've got to understand the love of God. The understanding of love of God is foundational to everything else. Everything good you do comes from understanding that God loves you. And so he went out and he was like, oh God, I want to know you love me. I don't understand. Like, I don't feel it. I don't get it. How can I know you love me? Do you love me? And he was just like skipping rocks on the stream. And he felt like God came, spoke to him and said, hey Dan, can I throw rocks with you? And he was like, no. That's not God. All right, God, show me your love. Experience God. Yeah, I got to know what God's like. And then he just felt like kind of God said, hey, Dan, can I throw rocks with you? He's like, it's definitely not God. Okay. Like, God, I want to experience your love. Let me experience your love. And then finally he's like, Dan, can I throw rocks with you? He's like, what? Okay, if you want to throw rocks with me, sure. But why in the world would you want to throw rocks with me? Like, that makes no sense. Why would God want to throw rocks with me? Like, how could that be God for you? And God was just like, well, this is what you're doing. You're throwing rocks, don't throw rocks. Right? And in that moment, Dan realized, like, oh, snap. It's not like this just generic kind of like, oh, the love of God, just kind of like floating. It's like a very real relational love. God is thinking about you. He cares about you. He's involved in your life. He wants to throw rocks with you. He wants to play video games with you. He wants to eat with you. He wants to be with you all the time. He's in love with you. Right? God loves us. God's love for us is greater than any love you can imagine. Zephaniah 3:17. I think sometimes we can think about God's love, and to say like, "Oh, God is in love with me," is like kind of weird. I don't know, because it's like has these kind of like romantic or maybe even sexual feelings that we add on to that. But if you could like kind of take that out and just take the whole like love fully in every like decision and emotion and feeling and everything, and realize that's what God's love is like for us. Zephaniah 3:17 is one of my favorite passages from the Bible, and it says this: "Behold, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty warrior who can save." What? "He will rejoice over you with singing. He will dance over you with songs of joy." God just like is singing over us, dancing over us, rejoicing. He's in love with us. God really, really loves us. He thinks about us more than there are sands on the seashore. So then, like, this passage, I was reading this, like, oh, you know, I'm so fearfully made. Oh, man, you saw my unformed substance. You know, like, you think about me as many times as there are sands on the seashore. And, oh, that you would slay the wicked. That you would break them up and then you'd kill them. And you would, and, you know, you're like, whoa. Did you guys notice that when I read the first time? You're kind of like, it's okay. Whoa, David, chill, bro. Bro, you need a Prozac or something, right? You need to chill out. Like, whoa, I thought this was all about, like, babies and God's love and sand on the seashore. And you're like, let's kill these people. Like, what is going on, right? And actually, when a lot of people preach on this passage, they just skip those verses because they're kind of inconvenient, right? But I was thinking about it. I was like, God, why are they here? Like, it seems so abrupt and weird. And then as I asked him about it, I think I got it. I think I understand why. I think it's because this. Let's say God really does love us like we just gone through, right? He has this crazy, passionate, fervent, like love that it becomes the bedrock for our life, okay? If that's true, how do you feel when someone starts sliming that, right? Have you guys ever had this where like, okay, again, if you haven't fallen in love with somebody, that's totally cool, and please don't rush it. But for those of you who have, you don't even raise your hand, you're super attracted to this person, you're just like, oh, I can't stop thinking about them, and you're like checking their Facebook status to see if they'll update or not, and looking through all 312 of their pictures for the fourth time. You know, you're like, you're doing that whole thing, right? And then somebody says, like, oh my gosh, Jennifer, she is such a jerk. What do you do? Right? What the heck did you just say about Jennifer? Huh? Take me like a man. Right? You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, right? Or girls, right? You really like this guy, and finally I was like, man, Zach, he's such a jerk. Oh my gosh, I can't believe him. And you're like, what? Don't talk about him. You know what I mean? That like rise up in you, or you'll be like, oh, you know what? He probably didn't mean it the way you think he did. Well, you're just judging him. You're just judgmental. I don't even like you. You're not friendly anymore, right? You know, I don't know. I can't do a girl. I can't do the guy. But you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, like, what's that reaction? Why? Because you're so loyal and dedicated and love this person who loves you, right? Let me tell you something just right now. You should understand this. If any of you get on WeChat or on Facebook and you say that my wife is a prostitute, you will feel the pain. Okay? Like I will come and find you. Okay? Like, I have a certain set of skills. Right? You know? But you guys get that, right? Do you guys get that? You understand that, right? I'm not crazy, am I? Well, maybe I am. But you know what I mean, right? You understand. This is what David's saying. This is what David is saying. David is saying, listen, it says in, that you would slay the wicked, O God, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. He's basically saying, these people, they are saying that you are a harsh God, that you hate people, that you punish people unjustly, that you are not a good God, that you're evil. And he's like, I'm mad about that. And I refuse to let them get away with that. You know what I'm saying? That's what's rising up in him. Why? Because he is so awed by the fearful and wonderful love of God for him that when people start maligning God, he's like, no, you don't mess with my God. You don't mess with my God, right? So that's what's happening. And I want to just ask you for a moment, we've been talking about being unashamed for God. Sometimes I wonder, have we fully experienced the love of God? Do we really believe this love of God that happens? Because if we really did, then when we're standing up for God, how would we feel? Would we be like, oh, you know, well, or would we have a little bit more fervency in our love for God because he loves us with such fervency? David had that. Just stop and imagine the greatest love story, the greatest love, the greatest sacrifice that's ever been done, ever existed in the world. God's love is greater than that for you. It's greater than that. It's the greatest love the world has ever seen. It's the love of God for us. And how does it end? Verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. So I think this is just kind of the end of what David's doing. Is he's like, kind of been like, wow, okay, God, your love is so crazy. You're so involved. You're so loving. You're so powerful. And I love you back, right? I love you back. Because these people, they don't understand how good you are, right? And then what does he say at the very end? He says, search me. Know me. Right? He basically is taking the doors of his heart and he's saying like, okay, nothing is held back. I think, how many of you guys have had this experience where you're in worship or whatever, you're at retreat and then you're like, I surrender all to you. Everything is yours, God. Lay giving it all away when you can have it all. Yeah, everything is yours. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then during extended, you're just like, oh, Lord, God, everything belongs to you. And he's like, what about that? And you're like, accept that, right? Accept my girlfriend, okay? Don't touch that, right? How many of you guys have ever had an experience like this? I have, right? Like, you can touch God, everything belongs to you, and then he points to something, and you're like, accept that. That does not, right? And what God's love does is it allows us to be like, okay, search my heart. Know me. Let your love come into every part. I trust you. Right? Like, if there's anything nasty, I give you permission to remove it. Even, no matter how bad I want it, you can take it out. You can clean me out. And you can give me your love. You can replace it with your love. Lead me in the way everlasting. So today, what do I want you guys to walk away with? Well, let me tell you what I'm walking away with this. I'm walking away with, when I'm hurting, God is with me. When I'm in pain, God has a purpose. When I don't know the steps forward, he's already written it down before the world began, and he's going to show me how to walk it. And I love him. And he can do whatever he wants in my life. Because I know his love for me is perfect. And I love him back. And I want him to have every part of me. My prayer for you is that you leave here today realizing God's love for you, yes. But also ending it the way David ended it, where he says, okay, search me. You can have it all. Your love can invade every part of me. And there's nothing that I'm going to hold back from you. I'm just going to let your love flood in. Even when it hurts. Even when it's something I think that I would be much better off if I hung on to. I'll trust your love. Trust you. That you come in and just wash me clean. And then I'll walk in your love. So let's pray. God, your love, it makes my brain hurt. It does. I don't get it, Lord. Just the fact that you're always with me, and you know every neuron firing in my brain, and every, like, you know, every protein in my stomach, and you know all that, God, and then everywhere I've been, everything I've done, and everything I've said, even the things I haven't said, but all things I've thought, you know all of that, God. And you love me, and you direct me, and all that. Thank you. And you're in love with me. My life has a purpose. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. All your works are amazing. And I'm your work. You made me. You're still making me. God, I just want to ask in the name of Jesus that right now, as you are here in the room with us right now, I just pray that you wrap your arms around each of us and show your love to us again. We want to know your love. How would you show your love? And God, I just want to ask that any walls we have in our hearts, any places where we haven't said, oh, search me, you can do whatever you want. Any place that we've said, no, keep your hands off of that, God. I just pray in the name of Jesus that right now you would help people to surrender those things to you. To let your love be enough. To let your love be what we're living for. Because there's nothing greater. I just want you to ask the Lord, hey, Lord, show me your love. And if you know there's something that you haven't opened your heart to his love to come into, just give that to him. Thank you for your love. It's higher than the heavens, deeper than the seas. We can't escape it. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for that love. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, today, I want to do something a little bit different. What I want you guys to do is just find a partner, like someone of the same gender as you. Just find one person. And we're not going to take too long today. I just want you to share what's one thing from the message that stuck out to you. What's one thing that, like, oh man, I haven't thought about that before, or that really just hit me. And then I want you guys to pray for each other that God would show his love to each other. Okay? Just pairs. So one other person, same gender as you. If there's, like, at the end, if we have an odd number of people, you can totally jump into the street. But otherwise, just find a partner. Go. Does anyone not have a partner?
Just go on immediately.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Is anything that sticked out from the message to you, and then pray for each other?
Basically, just the idea that God.